Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Blockchain News. My name is Cindy and today is August 14, 2019. This edition is brought to you by Paycademy, the first business academy to learn payments and fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about Ing poll, Austrians are most skeptical of Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. Samsung at last adds Bitcoin support to its blockchain phones. Shinhan Bank teams with Kakao's GroundX for blockchain security boost. Bitcoin is a geopolitical turmoil indicator, says market researcher. Blockchain firm settles with SEC over unregistered $6.3 million SAFT. Austrians reject Bitcoin, reveals new public survey. Terra signs music streaming platform bugs to its crypto payments alliance. R3's Marco Polo trade blockchain takes another step toward production. Former Coinbase CTO Balaji Srinivasan joins DeFi blockchain project Findora. Bitcoin's price looks set for a drop to $10,000. UK advertising watchdog upholds complaints against BitMEX Bitcoin promotion. Two libertarians, two views on Bitcoin's ability to disrupt fiat money. Meet FumbleChain, the deliberately flawed blockchain. Barclays is no longer banking Coinbase. Now let's get started. Ing poll, Austrians are most skeptical of Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. An online survey by banking giant Ing finds that Austrians are the most skeptical of Bitcoin, BTC, and cryptocurrencies in general. The poll, including respondents from 15 countries, shows that Bitcoin positivity is also weakening in other countries, according to Der Standard, August 14. The worst and getting worse. Austrians are generally conservative on investments, but on cryptocurrency they are very skeptical, with only 13% seeing digital currencies in a positive light. Attitudes towards cryptocurrency worsen since last year's survey. This year 17% of Austrians think that cryptocurrency is the future of digital payments, compared to 20% last year. And now only 14% believe it is a significant form of investment in contrast to 17% last year. Just 5% of Austrians would consider having their salaries paid in Bitcoin. According to the survey, Austrians know more than most nations about cryptocurrencies, but prefer to avoid risk and volatility as much as possible. Bucking the trend, of the 13 European nations, plus Australia and the United States, who were questioned, the majority saw a downturn in crypto positivity compared to last year. The exceptions were Turkey, Poland, and Romania. Poland and Romania saw 43% and 44% of respondents with a positive opinion of cryptocurrencies. While in Turkey, 62% were crypto positive and 36% would be happy to be paid in Bitcoin. Austrians do, however, see the value in blockchain as a technology. Energy trading firm, Graz, is planning to use a DLT-based platform in the move towards zero carbon energy distribution. Samsung at last adds Bitcoin support to its blockchain phones. Samsung has integrated Bitcoin, BTC, functionality on its blockchain-enabled smartphones. The move comes months after the flagship Galaxy S10 range was launched in March with a blockchain key store offering cryptocurrency storage and transactions for Ether, ETH, and related ERC-20 tokens, but which notably excluded the number one cryptocurrency by market cap. The South Korean tech giant has now included Bitcoin features to the developer kit SDK for several S10 models, S10e, S10, S10 Plus and S10 5G, as well as the Note 10 and Note 10 Plus devices. The SDK allows Android devices to link blockchain addresses to the blockchain keystore, sign cryptocurrency transactions and check the keystore status. The blockchain features of the phones are still currently only available in limited jurisdictions, listed as Canada, Germany, South Korea, Spain, Switzerland, the US and the UK. The SDK additions also include support for the native cryptocurrency Klay of the Klay TN blockchain recently launched by Korean messaging app giant Kakao. In the last week, Kakao's blockchain subsidiary GroundX has teased an upcoming wallet for Clay called Clip, and also revealed its first decentralized app, DApp, partners. Samsung itself now lists 17 dApps in its key store, and is developing its own blockchain based on Ethereum. It may ultimately release its own token, the firm has suggested. Shinhan Bank teams with Kakao's GroundX for blockchain security boost. Shinhan, one of the oldest and largest banks in South Korea, has partnered with two fintech firms to build a new security system using blockchain tech. For the effort, the bank has signed an agreement with GroundX, the blockchain subsidiary of messaging app provider Kakao, and blockchain developer Hexlint, according to an article from the Korea Times on Wednesday. The deal will see the three companies jointly develop a private key management system for use within Shinhan's systems, with GroundX to provide the underlying blockchain-based platform, and Hexlint to create infrastructure that will include an anti-cracking program, as per the report. The system could see testing as soon as October. Blockchain technology has gained attention from the financial sector for its advantages, but financial firms have experienced difficulties in applying the technology to their system, said an official at the bank. Shinhan Bank will provide a convenient user-friendly interface under the deal with GroundX and Hexlint. GroundX notably launched its own blockchain for use across Kakao's services in June. Called Clay TN, the network is claimed to be 150 times faster than Ethereum, though is a hybrid private blockchain with permissioned nodes that can be double-checked by public participants, and has its own cryptocurrency called Clay. In May, Shinhan launched a blockchain platform to verify items of proof required for credit lending, such as qualification or certification documents, seeking cost and speed improvements. Bitcoin is a geopolitical turmoil indicator, says market researcher. Co-founder of market research firm Datatrek Research Nicholas Kolas says that Bitcoin (BTC) is a geopolitical turmoil indicator. Bitcoin as a market indicator. In an interview with CNBC published on August 14, Kolas claimed that Bitcoin was one of the few assets of which the price predicted Hong Kong's protests and the consequent local capital flight. When the interviewer asked him whether he believes that Bitcoin is a safe haven asset, he said, "We are definitely seeing that, and really are perked up around the Hong Kong protests and some of the currency flight that happened out of Hong Kong and the mainland, and Bitcoin was one of the few assets that we watched that actually predicted that uncertainty ahead of time. Nothing else was really moving, Bitcoin was." His remarks are in line with what has been recently said by Peter Thier, Forbes contributor and a former executive director at Deutsche Bank. He recently wrote in an article that Bitcoin is a leading indicator of hidden geopolitical tensions. Bitcoin is still new and very volatile. The interviewer also said that many investors are concerned about the fact that Bitcoin used to be worth $20,000, and asked if there is any guarantee that such a price collapse won't happen again. Kolas answered stating that, indeed, it will happen again since Bitcoin is still a new and very volatile asset. As Cointelegraph reported earlier today, Bitcoin has begun trading at a premium in Hong Kong as continued political uncertainty produces a widely reported spike in demand. Blockchain firm settles with SEC over unregistered $6.3 million SAFT. A healthcare-focused blockchain firm has settled charges with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission (SEC) over its 2017 ICO. The SEC said on Monday that New England-based SimplyVital Health, Inc. raised around $6.3 million in Ether (ETH) via a pre-sale of its HLTH tokens to fund a touted healthcare-related blockchain ecosystem called HealthNexus. The pre-sale was notably offered under a simple agreement for future tokens (SAFTs) arrangement, a model supposedly designed to simplify the ICO process and reduce the risk of enforcement actions by offering investment contracts rather than tokens. Following the pre-sale, which closed in April 2018, the firm did not move forward with the planned public offering. The firm sold HLTH tokens that were not be delivered to investors unless and until created by SimplyVital, according to the SEC. The commission ultimately ruled that the company had violated provisions of the Securities Act of 1933 by not registering the SAFT with the regulator prior to the offering and did not qualify for an exemption from registration. SimplyVital complied with a cease and desist order from the SEC, while not admitting or denying the sex findings. By April 19, 2019, SimplyVital had voluntarily returned the bulk of the funds raised from investors, a factor that the SEC said it took into account when it decided not to impose civil penalties. As reported in March 2018, industry sources had told CoinDesk that the SEC was likely going after SAFT sales. One candid source said at the time, "The SEC is targeting SAFTs. The new approach of the SEC is to consider tokens as both utility and security at the same time, meaning a token can bring utility to a platform but at the same time can be considered as a security if you sold it to parties that mainly looked for profit on its increase in value." Austrians reject Bitcoin, reveals new public survey. A majority of Austrians are skeptic about decentralized cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin, according to a new ING International survey. Only 13% of the participants from Austria expressed optimism towards cryptocurrencies, making the country of one of the world's most prominent anti-Bitcoin regions in terms of public sentiment. On the other hand, ING found that people of sanctions-hit Turkey are more receptive towards digital ledger tokens, with 62% of them agreeing to at least use it in the future. Among the other open-minded, pro-Bitcoin people come from Romania, 44%, Poland, 43%, and the United States of America, 31%. Always haters. ING noted that Austrian skepticism over Bitcoin increased over the past 12 months. The banking giant claimed that last year, 20% of Austrians were willing to give cryptocurrencies a try. Out of those, 20% believed Bitcoin is the future of digital payments, while 17% said they would purchase it down the road. Nevertheless, in 2019, the 20% Bitcoin believers got reduced to 17%, and 17% of potential Bitcoin investors became only 14%. The ING International survey always shows very clearly that Austrians put their money on one thing, security in payment transactions and investment. However, they want to avoid the risks of strong price fluctuations associated with Bitcoin as much as possible. No wonder, therefore, that cryptocurrency falls in this country on no particularly fertile ground. Also, only 15% of Austrians currently believe that the price of digital currencies will increase over the next 12 months, the ING experts comment on the study's findings. The ING added that 0.05% of their survey participants in Austria agreed to the prospect of receiving salaries in Bitcoin. Meanwhile, 12% said that banks should start offering cryptocurrency-enabled accounts, the least approval among the European nations. But they are acknowledged. As part of its survey, ING also tested countrymen for their cryptocurrency skills. The firm found that Austrians were the most educated class amongst all. They knew more about Bitcoin than an average European who took the same survey. The results prompted ING to conclude that people who are well-versed Bitcoin's working model tends to reject it more. ING reached its conclusions after surveying about 15,000 people across 13 European countries, Belgium, Germany, France, Great Britain, Italy, Luxembourg, Netherlands, Austria, Poland, Romania, Spain, Turkey, and the Czech Republic. The firm also took answers from citizens of the US and Australia. Luxembourg and the Netherlands grabbed the second spot among the countries with the most anti-Bitcoin people. Belgium and Germany followed closely. Terra signs music streaming platform Bugs to its crypto payments alliance. Terra has added another partner to its payment provider alliance. The Singapore-based, South Korean-focused blockchain provider and stablecoin issuer has agreed to work with Bugs, a South Korean music streaming service. Bugs is the latest addition to the Terra Alliance, a group of e-commerce companies for which Terra provides payment services. Terra now has 25 partners in the grouping, including some of the largest e-commerce players in the region, and has ambitions to become the PayPal of Asia or even the next Alipay. The latest partnership will allow Bugs customers to pay for their song purchases using Terra. The company says that the arrangement is the first of its kind between a major music streaming service and a blockchain payments platform. Bugs, which has 5.8 million songs available for users, was founded in 2002. Formerly known as NeoWiz, it was acquired by NHN Entertainment in 2015. The company is listed on the KOSDAQ, South Korea's secondary market, with NHN owning about 45% of the shares. The arrangement between Bugs and Terra will utilize Chai, a Korean payments solution provider that has a mobile app for completing transactions. Chai will be the public face, while Terra will provide the back-end blockchain technologies. The value chain for payments is convoluted, said Daniel Shin, co-founder of Terra. There are 6 or 7 players, and everyone takes a cut. We streamline the process. The relationship with Chai is central to Terra's strategy, as is the alliance the company is building. Shin wants crypto be usable and used and believes that the best way to achieve that is to have the front end be simple and intuitive and to give the consumer many ready options for spending. The power of the blockchain and the coin are kept mainly in the background. For crypto to be a currency, it needs to be widely accepted for exchange. I don't think Bitcoin fits that definition of a currency, Shin argues. We give consumers access to everything they consume, one partner in each vertical. Obviously, music is one. Terra, as Terraform Labs, is a Singapore company with a strong interest in Southeast Asia, but it has a clear Korean connection and a clear Korea strategy. But like many companies with strong links to the country, it has been begun to work overseas in part because of domestic regulations that have made developing local crypto all but impossible. I think Korea has the opportunity to lead globally, but the lawmakers have not given clarity. Everything is murky and uncertain. Giving clarity will be helpful for the sector, Shin said. He noted that in countries like the US, if something is not illegal, it can be done. In Korea, if it is not explicitly legal, it should not even be attempted. The government must give clear consent or nothing happens. So far, the signals have been mixed, and the areas open for business have been limited. But Shin has noticed some movement in this respect with the growing understanding on the part of the authorities that crypto is needed. Before, it was crypto no, blockchain yes, he said. Now it is more like blockchain yes, private crypto yes, public and listed crypto no. R3's Marco Polo trade blockchain takes another step toward production. Marco Polo, the trade finance blockchain network launched in 2017 by R3 and Tradex, is moving slowly but surely toward production. The latest milestone in the 22-bank blockchain consortium's methodical piloting process allows a third party to a trade, in this case a logistics provider, to trigger a payment to a supplier in real time at the moment the goods are on their way to their destination. This work builds on the first Marco Polo test transactions carried out in March of this year between two member banks, LBBW and Commerce Bank, which executed a trade between engineering technology firm Voith and KSBSE, a pump and valve manufacturer. This time, besides the two companies involved, logistics provider Logwin Ag added data to the blockchain and initiated the payment obligation. Gerald BHM, head of guarantees and trade finance at Voith, said in a statement on Wednesday, "For the first time, we have processed the purchase and delivery of special hydraulic couplings from Germany to Taiwan using blockchain technology. We executed this transaction with KSB, the leading pump and valve manufacturer, via the Marco Polo network." Ralph Van Velzen, head of export financing at KSBSE & Co., added, "As a buyer, together with our bank we can ensure that the payment commitment becomes effective only if the goods are actually in the hands of the logistics provider, and on their way to the delivery destination. Global trade and its transactional banking arrangements are hampered by data being locked in silos and in some cases paper-based processes. Getting participants on the same page and working together in real time removes risk from trade networks." Or, as elegantly stated in a recent report by Tradex, up until now, trading parties have simply been sending and receiving messages that are reflections of the past, not the present. Busy space because of the obvious efficiency gains, blockchain-based trade finance is now a busy space. There are some 30 consortia working in this area, including Voltron, which also runs on R3's Corda network, Ethereum-based CargoX, and Asia-focused eTrade Connect, which works on Hyperledger Fabric. In terms of how this race is being run, first out the blocks into live production was WeTrade, the IBM blockchain-partnered European SME-focused trade consortium, which also runs on Hyperledger Fabric. There are clear interoperability plays on the side of the Corda and Fabric networks, and there are also some banks involved in multiple projects running on different flavors of DLT. Things look promising in the long run for firms running on R3's open-source Corda, which is growing into a vibrant network. So while WeTrade forges onward, and it may be some time in 2020 before Marco Polo sees the full light of day, there are some tantalizing possibilities ahead for Corda users, such as enabling instant of settlement of trades via cash on the ledger. In a recent interview showcasing Corda-based digital asset shared ledger, DASL, Richard Crook, CEO of Lab 577, predicted that goods and services would soon be able to flow one way across the ledger and the payment for those goods and services to flow the other way on the same ledger. In the case of trade finance, you want to have stores of value on chain which the Marco Polos and the Tradex of the world can use, he said. Former Coinbase CTO Balaji Srinivasan joins DeFi blockchain project Findora. Balaji Srinivasan, the former CTO of Coinbase, has just joined decentralized finance blockchain project Findora. Announcing the news on Wednesday, the firm said Srinivasan is to help guide the firm as a strategic advisor. Professor Dan Bana, head of Stanford University's cryptography group, is also joining in the same role. We are excited to welcome Professor Dan Bana and Balaji Srinivasan to our team as we work towards a new global financial system where users control their own financial data, identity and assets, said Findora CEO Charles Liu. These renowned industry experts have unrivaled knowledge in fintech, digital infrastructure, blockchain, cryptography, and beyond, putting them at the forefront of their respective fields. Prior to joining Coinbase, Srinivasan was a general partner at Andreessen Horowitz, and co-founder and CEO of Earn.com, formerly 21 Inc. He also co-founded and is still a board member at blockchain advocacy group Coin Center. Findora describes itself as a cryptographically transparent public blockchain for building decentralized financial applications. The firm has the grand ambition to build global financial infrastructure allowing anyone from individuals to SMEs or corporations to develop and use financial services. Appealing to privacy-seeking enterprises, the Findora network keeps data confidential, but still allows auditing in order to comply with financial rules. The platform says it aims to support numerous applications, including open banking, asset securitization, trading and peer-to-peer lending. Professor Bana has authored over 100 publications and is a recipient of the Packard Award, the Alfred P. Sloan Award, the RSA Award in Mathematics, and the Okawa Foundation Award, according to the announcement. On joining the firm, Bana said, "Findora's vision is to be the internet of the finance world, and to decentralize and revitalize the global financial system. Blockchain alone will not replace trust in our financial institutions. There is a strong need for privacy and data safety features of the type Findora is developing, and that will make Findora a powerful hub for storing the world's financial data." Bitcoin's price looks set for a drop to $10,000. View: Bitcoin appears on track to test the psychological support of $10,000, as the daily chart moving averages and other key indicators have turned bearish. A high-volume price breakdown seen on the hourly chart also favors a drop to $10,000. However, the hourly chart indicators are reporting a bullish divergence. So, a price bounce to $10,700 could precede a drop to $10,000. The outlook as per the daily chart would turn bullish if prices print a UTC close above $12,000. Bitcoin BTC is looking south, having retraced more than 50% of the $3,000 rally seen in the 10 days to August 6. The top cryptocurrency by market cap is currently trading at $10,500 on Bitstamp, representing a 6% loss on the day. At the current price, roughly 53% of the rally from the July 28 low of $9,111 to the August 6 high of $12,325 stands erased. BTC's recent rally coincided with the devaluation of China's yuan, CNY. Notably, the People's Bank of China allowed the yuan to fall beyond 7 per US dollar on August 5. On the same day, BTC rallied 7% and rose to a one-month high of $12,325 on the following day, triggering speculation that BTC is acting as a safe haven asset in China. That narrative may become entrenched in the market as Bitcoin's drop seen in the last 48 hours is accompanied by a recovery in the yuan. CNY appreciated by 0.26% yesterday and is reporting a 0.32% gain against the greenback on Wednesday. However, Peter Schiff, CEO of Euro Pacific Capital Group and a Bitcoin skeptic, believes the cryptocurrency did not act as a safe haven in China. Investors who bought bitcoins based on the safe haven narrative are now cashing out, tracking the recovery in yuan, he says. Meanwhile, Jacob Canfield, featured trader on CNBC and CoinDesk, has associated Bitcoin's price drop with the delay in fiat withdrawals and deposits for cryptocurrency exchange Coinbase's UK customers. The delay is likely caused by Barclays Bank's decision to end its partnership with Coinbase. Whatever the reason for the price drop, the cryptocurrency is now looking weaker than it did yesterday, although a drop to $10,000 could be preceded by a minor bounce. A bearish crossover of the 5 and 10-day moving averages and a below 50 reading on the Relative Strength Index (RSI) indicate the path of least resistance as to the downside. The Moving Average Convergence Divergence (MACD) histogram has also crossed below zero, confirming a bullish to bearish trend change. So, the cryptocurrency looks set to test $10,000. The outlook would turn bullish if and when prices print a UTC close above $12,000. That level acted as strong resistance in 6 days to August 10. The high-volume descending triangle breakdown seen in the hourly chart above left indicates that sellers are in control. However, both RSI and MACD have charted higher lows on the hourly chart, contradicting the lower lows on price. That bullish divergence of key indicators suggests scope for a price bounce, possibly to the resistance at $10,700 a violation there would expose $11,000. The oversold reading on the 4-hour RSI above right also indicates scope for an intraday recovery rally. UK advertising watchdog upholds complaints against BitMEX Bitcoin promotion. The UK Advertising Standards Authority (ASA) has upheld complaints over a Bitcoin ad placed by crypto derivatives exchange BitMEX (HDR Global Trading). The advertising regulator published its decision on Wednesday, saying that it supported the 4 complaints against the ad that had claimed it failed to illustrate the risk of the investment, exaggerated the return on the investment, and challenged whether it was misleading. The ad, placed on January 3, 2019, purportedly to celebrate the 10th anniversary of mining of the first block of Bitcoin on the same date in 2009, showed a graph spread across 2 pages, according to the ASA. The ASA further described the promotion, saying, "It included a footer on the front page of a national newspaper that read, 'Thanks Satoshi, we owe you one. Happy 10th birthday, Bitcoin,' the graph and text next to it, and a full-page article written by the CEO and co-founder of HDR Global Trading Arthur Hayes titled 'Two Sides of the Coin, the Bifurcated Near Future of Money.'" In its ruling, the watchdog pointed out that the graph used a logarithmic scale on its y-axis, which meant that the equally spaced values on that scale did not increase by the same amount each time and instead increased by orders of magnitude. While it acknowledged that log graphs can be a valid and useful way of presenting data, the agency said that interpreting the graph would need some specialist knowledge of the topic and that, without an accompanying explanation, the graph was unlikely to be familiar or readily understandable to the national newspaper audience to whom the ad was directed. The ASA concluded that people viewing the ad were likely to be misled about Bitcoin's value and stability in recent years and therefore about what any investments they might previously have made would have yielded. The text included with the ad also came in for criticism, with the ASA saying that it didn't mitigated the overwhelming impression about Bitcoin's value created by the graph. BitMEX had included phrases describing Bitcoin as still very much an experiment, adding that the road ahead will be challenging. It also mentioned price volatility. Yet, the full text stated, despite price volatility and how entirely bonkers the system seems, the Bitcoin protocol appears robust. And although the road ahead will be challenging, there's a reason to believe Bitcoin's still got a chance at glory. We considered that was a clear promotional statement of Bitcoin's merits and did very little to warn consumers of any risks, said the ASA. As such, it concluded that the ad had misleadingly exaggerated the return on investment, failed to illustrate the risk of the investment, and therefore concluded it was in breach of the code. The ASA barred the exchange from using the ad in its current form in the UK. It also advised the firm to ensure its promotions are set out so as to be readily understood by the audience being addressed and that investment risks are clearly indicated. BitMEX's CEO has been notably in the public eye over his public debate with economist Nouriel Roubini. In early July, the two sparred over the nature of cryptocurrency at a public event, with famously anti-crypto Roubini afterwards claiming BitMEX had suppressed video of a debate in which he claimed to have destroyed Hayes. Some parts of the video were released soon after. Roubini had previously attacked BitMEX, saying it may be openly involved in systematic illegality, according to Bloomberg. He argued that, in providing high leverage to traders, the platform is exposing them to too much risk. Seychelles-based BitMEX is also reportedly being probed by the U.S. Commodity Futures Trading Commission, CFTC, over whether the exchange has allowed U.S. traders to use its platform. Two libertarians, two views on Bitcoin's ability to disrupt fiat money. Half of the audience here is like, I hope you die in a fire. As a libertarian, comedian and podcast host Dave Smith has a lot of common ground with Bitcoin enthusiasts, who have a reputation for having a libertarian bent. But when he and others argue that Bitcoin isn't going to replace government-issued currencies, Smith argues, jokingly, of course, that this is the response he gets. Smith's opening Soho Forum, a monthly debate in South Manhattan, attracting a group of mostly libertarians, or people that believe less government input in people's lives would improve the world's standard of living. Monday's topic is whether Bitcoin is suited to help with that, by taking on central banks, the powerful entities across the world that control national money supplies, for better or worse. Judging by the fact that it's a libertarian debate, most in the crowd were agreement on the point that the role of central banks should be audited or diminished, if not eliminated altogether. Bitcoin takes control over the creation of money from any one entity, including governments. It sounds like a libertarian fantasy. Yet, many libertarians seem pretty skeptical it will actually pan out as a currency that will replace government currencies. The precise wording of the resolution up to debate was, Bitcoin is poorly suited to the purpose of becoming any nation's main medium of exchange, or an object that can be transferred for goods. Think the dollar. With economist George Selgin arguing in favor of this resolution, while the Bitcoin Standard author and economist Saifedean Ammous argued against. Selgin likes the goals of Bitcoin, introducing more currency competition where governments currently have sole power. In fact, he's the director of a research wing of the Cato Institute exploring alternatives to central banks. But Bitcoin, he argued, isn't up to the task. Ordinary people. The first question about money is, what can you buy with it? Selgin argued, cutting to the chase. He pointed out that it's hard for people to find a store that even accepts the cryptocurrency. When ordinary people, which excludes many of you, think, what kind of money do I want to equip myself with? What should I use as a medium of exchange? The answer, first of all, is, what's everyone else using? What does the store down the street take? The economist said, implying that Bitcoin does not satisfy these needs. But he was just getting started. The economist continued, how risky is this to have on hand all the time? Is it going to decrease rapidly in value while I am at the grocery store? Do I have to come up with all sorts of elaborate plans to protect myself? He went on to argue that Bitcoin is not generally the answer people come away with when thinking about these questions. Additionally, Selgin pointed to Bitcoin's volatility in price, sometimes high transaction fees, and slow settlement as other reasons your average Joe isn't flocking to Bitcoin and probably won't. Unrealistic assessment. Amos, on the other hand, argued that while Bitcoin isn't perfect, it continues to grow quite rapidly. I think the notion that Bitcoin has been failing is completely unrealistic. Bitcoin has been growing non-stop the last 10 years, Amos said. While Selgin argues it is hard to find a store that accepts Bitcoin, Amos argues that's because use is spread across the whole globe, rather than being restricted to just one nation. By global economic statistics, he asserted that Bitcoin is one of the 20 largest valued currencies in the world. Most importantly, it is the only working alternative to central banks, he said, not swayed by the idea that a better alternative will come along and replace it. Give it time to mature, he said. The idea that Bitcoin has to be born ready to handle everybody's transactions overnight and to have all the world's liquidity to do it overnight from its creation or else it has failed, I think that's a completely unrealistic way of assessing it. Bitcoin is growing in every metric that matters, Amos said. He pointed out that other monies have been replaced with newer ones over time. Seashells have been used as money by groups of people in the past, for example. What he is implying here is clear, Bitcoin might be the next in line. Meet Fumblechain, the deliberately flawed blockchain. Fumblechain makes breaking blockchains a sport. Demonstrated for the first time last Thursday at the Black Hat InfoSec event, the deliberately flawed technology is meant to act as an educational tool for crypto developers. Basically, this what people call CTF, or capture the flag, explained Nils Amiot, a senior security engineer at Kadelsky and one of the developers behind the project. Whenever you solve a challenge, that is when you get the flag. The challenges are pretty technical. Through these curated and gamified challenges, the aim is to teach users about the complexities of blockchain technology. According to Dan Guido, co-founder and CEO of cybersecurity firm Trail of Bits, which has audited over 20 different cryptocurrency projects, Fumblechain is similar to the wargames used in traditional software development. Competitions and training exercises are used throughout the security industry, sometimes in live competitions of 30,000 or more players at one time, to help educate and demonstrate the knowledge that participants have gained, said Guido, adding, "It's long overdue for blockchain security to have its own wargame." Users collect game points dubbed Fumblecoins every time they exploit a vulnerability in the Fumblechain blockchain and capture one flag. The coins are only a value within the game itself. Kadelskis Amiot says Fumblechain's core technology looks a lot like Bitcoin, only simpler. Daryl Hok, COO of blockchain cybersecurity company Certic, said Fumblechain is designed to make blockchain approachable for engineers coming from a diverse set of backgrounds. Fumblechain provides a gamified, wargames model that may interest a broad audience with its approachability and incentives, said Hok. The project currently focuses on source code level attacks, as opposed to economically oriented attacks, but that may be something that is added in the future. Indeed, Kadelsky head of cybersecurity research Nathan Hamill hopes Fumblechain will take on a life of its own now that the code has been open sourced on GitHub. So many projects like this have a tendency to wither away as people move on to other things, said Hamill. I feel the only way to have a successful project like this is to have it be open source. We're hoping people continue to not only utilize but develop new challenges and really come on board and be a part of the project. Lessons from battle. Fumblechain was birthed after Kadelsky completed a number of security audits for cryptocurrency projects including privacy coins Monero and Zcash, said Hamill. The first challenge on Fumblechain simulates what is called a replay attack, where duplicate transactions are generated on two separate chains. This attack vector was a concern back in 2017 during the chain split between Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash. Other blockchain attack vectors identified on Fumblechain include transaction input validation, public key and wallet address mismatch, as well as denial of service or spam attacks. Speaking to these network vulnerabilities, Hamill said, "The blockchain ecosystem has many of the same vulnerabilities that a traditional software ecosystem has. If you think about it at a low level, a blockchain is not very useful without the ecosystem around it, exchanges, wallets, etc. As such, Fumblechain also offers a browser-based web wallet and blockchain explorer to mess around with. Further expanding Fumblechain to include both smart contract challenges and lessons on blockchain privacy are next steps both Hamill and Amiot hope to see in the months to come. At the very least, says Mark LaLiberté, a senior security analyst at WatchGuard Technologies, Fumblechain could have an impact on existing blockchain applications by creating opportunities for hands-on learning. LaLiberté said, "Experience with identifying and exploiting common vulnerabilities is a great way to learn how to not make the same mistakes yourself. Fumblechain provides an opportunity for developers and enthusiasts to learn about common flaws and play around in a safe ecosystem, and then take that knowledge back to their own applications." Barclays is no longer banking Coinbase. The most prestigious banking relationship in crypto has ended. Barclays, the London-based global bank, is no longer working with cryptocurrency exchange Coinbase, industry sources told CoinDesk. And while Coinbase found a replacement in UK upstart ClearBank, according to people familiar with the situation, the change has indirectly inconvenienced the exchange's users. That's because, aside from the cachet of working with a household name bank, Barclays connected San Francisco-based Coinbase to the UK Faster Payments Scheme, FPS, enabling users to instantly withdraw and deposit British pounds at the exchange. The end of the relationship disrupted Coinbase's access to FPS, which in turn slowed deposits and withdrawals in GBP for UK customers, which now take days to process. The situation is temporary, though, thanks to Coinbase's new relationship with ClearBank. One of the UK challenger banks that have sprouted up in recent years to compete with market incumbents, ClearBank is expected to restore Coinbase's FPS access by the end of the third quarter. Barclays, ClearBank and Coinbase all declined to comment. Cold feet. Companies that handle cryptocurrency have a tough time getting banking partners, with almost all big-name banks eschewing that business. Hence, when Coinbase obtained a bank account with Barclays in early 2018, the news was greeted with some fanfare. The exchange was also granted an e-money license by the UK Financial Conduct Authority, FCA, and was the first crypto firm to gain access to FPS. Since then, word on the street is that Barclays got cold feet about crypto clients. People have varying opinions on why this might be the case, but nobody knows for sure. It is my understanding that Barclays' risk appetite has contracted a little. I am not sure exactly why or what's been driving that. Maybe there has been some activity they are not happy with. But it's about Barclays' comfort level with crypto as a whole, said the CEO of a UK crypto company who chose to remain nameless. Another source described the Coinbase-Barclays relationship as a pilot program that has simply run its course. This source added that being banked by Barclays had probably held Coinbase back in terms of which coins and tokens the exchange wanted to list, and the time taken before the bank could feel comfortable with new assets being added. Zero tolerance. That's not to say ClearBank is giving Coinbase carte blanche. Earlier this week, Coinbase delisted Zcash, the privacy-centric cryptocurrency, which uses a technology called zero-knowledge proofs to mask details of transactions from blockchain watchers. A person familiar with the decision said it was completely to do with the new bank. ClearBank was uncomfortable indirectly supporting a currency with features that make law enforcement's job harder. Coinbase was not the only crypto company to successfully woo Barclays. In 2016, when the bank was perhaps more enthusiastic about the technology, Barclays said it was working with Circle Internet Financial, whose main offering at the time was Circle Pay, an FCA-regulated app that used Bitcoin to help facilitate no-fee currency transfers. Customer deposits were held by Barclays. Barclays said at that time, "We can confirm that Barclays Corporate Banking has been chosen as a financial partner by Circle, and we support the exploration of positive uses of blockchain that can benefit consumers and society." Both Barclays and Circle, which has since shifted its focus from retail payments to crypto trading, declined to comment on the status of their relationship. In addition to working with Barclays, Coinbase has had a banking relationship with Estonia-based LHV Bank for a number of years. LHV has been working to offer access to faster payments in the UK, but, according to industry sources, this might still be a ways off. A spokeswoman for LHV told CoinDesk, "We have technically joined the faster payments scheme, but there are still some issues we have to work on and legal details to manage before we can start offering faster payments to our fintech clients." Other on-ramps. Elsewhere in the UK, FCA-regulated crypto broker BCB Group is also working with ClearBank. The broker recently announced a deal to bring Luxembourg-based exchange Bitstamp onto faster payments for GBP. Oliver von Landsberg-Sadie, BCB's founder and CEO, told CoinDesk, "All our clients' GBP funds clear within 60 seconds both ways via FPS. Bitstamp is likely to be set up internally to pass that benefit onto their GBP customers by processing payment information as fast as they receive it." Another popular route into faster payments is via FCA-regulated Enumis, which recently began working with CoinFloor, the UK's longest-running exchange, to broker banking relationships for crypto companies. Also acting as an Enumis intermediary is UK-based Kasha, which is helping to get banking and FPS access to projects on Binance Chain, the blockchain created by the world's largest crypto exchange. Despite its de-risking of crypto, Barclays still offers operational banking services to Blockchain, the UK wallet provider which recently announced plans to move into the exchange space with its super-fast PIT trading service. Blockchain did not say by press time if its Barclays account was the means by which the firm would bring faster payments to its new exchange business. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again Paycademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.